Welcome to Look Up with Pastor Mike and his wife Linda Sasso of Calvary Chapel of Eagle, a radio ministry designed to assist you in applying God's Word to your everyday life. For the next hour, Pastor Mike and Linda will encourage you with your walk with Christ and help you look up to Jesus. If you need advice on marriage, life challenges, or relationships, call in now. It's time to look up to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Here's Mike and Linda.
Oh, hi, everybody. Welcome to Look Up. This is Pastor Mike, and we are live in studio today. In case you're wondering if this is a rerun, it's Tuesday, May 14th, 2019, and we're looking forward to probably finishing off, at least this week, if not this day, the list of spiritual disciplines we've been looking at. We've been covering a list that I found in churchleaders.com, a topic on 12 spiritual disciplines that will make your faith strong. Now, it's funny. I think the average Christian doesn't even want to. You'll lose interest as soon as you hear that title, right? Spiritual disciplines? 12?
12?
Do I want one spiritual discipline to add to my life? I just enjoy coasting. You know, I know that's the problem with American Christianity, that we do have this work ethic of, well, I'm saved by grace through faith. I don't need to do any works. And so I'm just gonna do what I want to do, live how I want to live, and I'll see you in heaven. You know, that is not the way the Bible's written. I don't know if you've read the Bible much, especially the New Testament. If you read through the New Testament, you find out that we're given commands, we're given warnings, we're given exhortations, we're told to add to our faith, we're told to step up and to serve. And so we've been looking at 12 spiritual disciplines. I'll tell you a little bit more about that as we do a little review working into this. But first, I want to let Linda tell you how you might be able to partner with us, because not partner by giving, we're not going to take an offering, but you could participate with us by calling or texting. There are several ways that you could communicate with us. We love to hear from our listeners, especially a phone call. So here's Linda. She's going to tell you how to do all that.
You know what? What we're going to talk about today is generosity in one of those disciplines. And I want to remind you, have you noticed that we never ask for money to support this show? I know it's a rare thing on the radio, but this is a church-supported ministry, because we don't want you to feel we're just after your money. And that's why we don't talk about money hardly ever unless the topic comes up. One time Mike did a study on tithing, and that was because somebody called in and asked a question. So we answered it. But we're going to hit generosity today, and it's going to cover a lot of things, and some people may not want to hear, oh, there's the part, that's where the church wants my money. No, that's where your money's not yours, it's God's anyway. So what does he want you to be doing with it? Is where we're going to kind of go today. So if you would like to join this conversation, be live on the radio with us today, we would love for you. Call in, be live, ask your questions. That number is 208-377-3790. I had to stop and think. I was about to give you my cell phone, and that wouldn't have worked very well. It's 208-377-3790. And what's so funny is my cell phone is just way too similar to the station's number that it can be real easy to get messed up that way. That's why you gave your number before, huh, Mike? It's just if you're not thinking, you can do it. Now, if you have a question or comment, but you don't like that talking on the radio thing, you can send your question to Calvary Chapel Eagle's phone, and that is 208-891-2635. That one I don't get mixed up with anything else. And if you're out there in Facebook Live land, go ahead and put a comment up. And yes, Robert, that shirt is probably at least 30 years old. We were trying to add it up the other day because he's got a whole set of them that I had bought way back when at Sears. And
now that's,
they never get old.
I was telling Robert that.
Yes, it's okay. At least 30 years old. Okay. At least. Okay. A lot of his shirts, folks, I'm sorry. It's your seat. We like his shirts.
Polyester is indestructible. It lasts forever. It doesn't decay or the moths.
But
the
who
moths
knows?
Break their teeth on it.
It may be toxic.
Yeah, who knows?
Ooh,
we'll
who
find
knows?
Out someday.
Okay. You can have it back.
Okay, I didn't know if you had something else to say.
No.
All right. Listen, the 12 primary spiritual disciplines. So far we covered, and I should tell you, this is an article by Brandon Hilgman on churchleaders.com that I thought was well worth investigating and encouraging our listening audience to, you know, consider, is there something in your life where you've kind of let it go and you need to step up? I know, you know, I've been a Christian for many years and I've been a pastor for, I don't know, 34 plus years. And there's times I find myself in coast mode that I think, oh, you know what? I'm tired of this. The Bible calls it growing weary in well-doing. And you could just start coasting. And the Lord always, he's faithful. He always nudges me and says, Mike, I'm not done with you yet. Mike, step it up. Whether I'm getting discouraged or whether I'm just getting weary of well-doing and I just want to kind of coast a little bit, you know, that's what cruises are for. That's what vacation's for. Take a vacation now and then, okay? But then when you get home, get back to work. And the Lord always has to remind me that. And so as we go into the spiritual disciplines, I want to remind you that, and I want to exhort you, is there areas of your life, can you look at your life and go, you know, I'm just coasting. I need to add something to my life because my spiritual life is nil or zombified or something. You know, I remember, let me tell you a story before I get into this series, is I remember I was on staff for almost 20 years. It was probably closer to 15 at Calvary Chapel Downey. I was an assistant pastor.
Over 20 years.
No, when this happened, okay. The story I'm about to tell.
Okay.
I was at that time a high school pastor, and I just felt like my life, I was doing my job. I was doing what was expected of me. I was getting the job done. I was just keeping my head above water. You know what I mean? Do you ever do that as a Christian, maybe as a husband, as a father, as an employee, or as a member of the body of Christ? You can just get to the point where you're just treading water. You're just keeping your head above water, and you just feel like, this is good, isn't it? I'm doing good. I'm not drowning. You know, I'm even moving forward a little bit as I dog paddle. And the Lord just really convicted me that I was drying up spiritually. And I needed to do something different. Now, you can be a pastor on staff at a church and dry up spiritually. You can be in any kind of ministry, in any mission field. You could be anywhere doing anything, and you could dry up spiritually if you're not listening to the Lord and say, Lord, show me what needs to change in my life. Show me what I need to add to my life. Show me what I need to subtract. Sometimes you let sin creep in. Sometimes you're letting just apathy, and you're not working, doing the specific call that he's called you to, okay? So anyway, all this to say, I recognize that in my life. I recognize I was kind of dry. My faith was dry, and it wasn't vibrant. I wasn't really super excited about anything. I was just doing my job. And I had known Ray Comfort for a couple of years at that point. He lived in Southern California, the next city over. And, you know, we had done a few things together. We've gone surfing together. I've gone witnessing with him. I've done a few different things with him. And then I thought, you know what? What is my call? What is my passion? I love to share the gospel, and I love doing evangelism. And I used to, man, in the old days, I'd been everything. I've done street witnessing. I've done concert ministry, movie ministry. I've done mission trips. But I just was drying up, and I thought, you know what? Let me call my friend Ray and find out when is it that he goes out. I heard that he was taking teams out witnessing down to 3rd Street Promenade, and he was kind of taking teams to go witnessing. And so I thought, well, you know what, maybe I'll do that. So I called him. I found out it was a Friday night. Friday was my day off. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to do it anyway. I need this. I'm dying. Folks, consider that. You ever find yourself that you just go, you know, I'm drying up spiritually. I need a shot in the arm. I need to do something. You know what you need, by the way? It's not changing churches unless you're in a totally spiritually dead church. It's not finding a new wife. Yeah, that's what some people do. They get have an affair, or they'll just quit this church and join another. They do radical things to try to mix it up and find a way to bring life into their life. Let me tell you something, folks. All it takes is you figure out, what is it that I can do for the Lord? What is it that I like to do for the Lord? You'll find that that brings you life. Serving the Lord. Matter of fact, that's the last topic we covered in this series of spiritual disciplines. As you serve the Lord, you receive life. And so anyway, I called Ray, found out, and I just started driving over to his house on Friday night. This was before he was really famous and before he met Kirk Cameron and all the other guys who helped him start doing movies and stuff. And to my surprise, most of the time we'd go out on Friday night, it was just me and him. I thought he had a whole entourage. I thought he had a whole army of people go out door to door, or out on the street. So I went with him. I was kind of like his protege, and I help him out with things and set up his props, and we would do stuff. But you know what? I started to come to life because I was getting out of my comfort zone and doing something that challenged me, that stretched me. Yeah, some of you right now, you're thinking, oh, no, I'm not going out on the street to go street preaching. You know what? I didn't even do much street preaching at all. All I did was I helped him set up. I was his backup. I'd let him do the street preaching. And if I saw somebody being hostile, I'd kind of be there for him. Sometimes I'd see people in the audience that I needed to talk to. Maybe the crowd got really big. And I'm really good at working with people. I love people. And so I'd find maybe the crowd got really big and I would jump in there. And if somebody was, was going, what is this guy? He's an idiot. I'd walk over to him and I'd start talking to him. You know what? I think I know what this guy's up to. I pretend I didn't know him. another hand, there'd be times where there'd be no crowd at all. I remember when we first started doing it, Ray would say, what's going on here? Nobody's coming. He would set up yellow tape, like a police line, and set up, I forget what the guy's name, I think it was Lazarus. He had this dummy. It was like one of those, it was like one of those CPR dummies, or it looked more like a crash dummy. And it was laying down on the ground, and he'd cover it with a sheet, and then he'd put a yellow police line all around it. And he'd say, Mike, something's really weird. Do something. Help me. Because usually a crowd would gather and stand around the police line and want to know what's going on, and then he'd start preaching. Well, I remember one time he had the police line up, and he had the dummy covered with a sheet, and he's going, Mike, help me out here. And I'm a little crazy, so I could get creative. So I pulled the sheet off of the dummy, and I yelled as loud as I could, stand back. It's going to be okay. We can help this guy. He's going to be all right. And I started doing CPR on this crash dummy. And as I'm yelling, stand back. It's going to be all right. And I'm doing this CPR. A crowd started forming. And as soon as the crowd began to form, I threw the sheet back over to the dummy, stepped out of the way, and let Ray preach. But it was fun, you know. I mean, we get a lot of fun stories like that, okay? And I didn't mean to get carried away with the story. It's just the point is, I had to find something that took me out of my comfort zone. I wouldn't normally go to a mall. This was a large outdoor mall. This one here, I think it could have been the Promenade. I'm trying to remember where that one was, but we've done a lot of different places together. And, I normally am pretty quiet at a mall. I'll just go shopping and kind of stay undercover. I might even give out some tracts, but I'm not one of these loud street preacher types. I'm really not. And the Lord used it to get me out of the comfort zone. Have you heard me say that a bunch of times? You, my friend, if you want to come alive spiritually, if you want to do something for the Lord, come out of your comfort zone. Find a way to do something you normally wouldn't do that kind of stretches you a little bit, that when it's over with at the end of the day or the end of the night, you'd go home and go, whoa, that was crazy. I'm going to do that again, you know. Now, I'm looking out and I'm seeing some people on Facebook who are commenting and things. I'm going to tell you something. If you're a busy mom or dad, if you got a busy, some of you guys have big workloads and you've got a big family. And look, I'm not trying to put a trip on you. You right now, your ministry could be your kids. You know, that could be your out of your comfort zone, trying to raise a big family. I don't know. But for me, I was kind of approaching the empty nest time. My kids were still at home, but it was getting to the point where it's like, I needed something. All this to say, folks, that spiritual disciplines are things that you know you need to do because something's wrong. You're drying up. Spiritually, you need a shot in the arm. And so I hope I've just kind of maybe convinced you a little bit to try something different. I'm not saying you have to work to earn your salvation. I'm not saying you've got to work to gain God's approval. All I'm saying is don't dry up spiritually. Come alive spiritually. Let the Lord do something in your life that you might be able to wake up and go, this is good. I needed this.
Well, you know, this leads right into our topic today, which is generosity. And one of the things that Mike mentioned of getting out of his comfort zone, this was his day off. This was a day off, but he had to choose to take part of that day off and go. And when we would go, we wouldn't get back till like 11 o'clock at night sometimes, right. You know, especially right. Once he went with Ray at first. And then the kids in the youth group heard him start telling the stories and they wanted to go. And it pretty soon it grew to where we were taking a small bus of kids that would do skits down at 3rd Street Promenade, you know, but this was all on our day off. And you know what? That's part of generosity, being willing to make that sacrifice. Sometimes making those kinds of sacrifices is what brings you back to life. Yes, we need days off. And as you know, Monday, we take our day off and we had to keep reminding ourselves and each other, no work, no work yesterday. We had to keep doing that.
But that was when we used to get 2 days off.
Yeah, that's when we would get 2 days off. So to give one back to the Lord to go do this ministry. And, you know, not only was it profitable for us, for the lost, it was profitable to those kids who went with us that got to see ministry, that got to use their gifts. Now, some of them went off their own way. Others of them are still following the Lord today, you know. But there's this thing that brings you back to life. And that's what you need. If you find you're getting oldie moldy in the Lord, you're just getting stale and crusty, and your life feels like, well, what am I doing? Well, then do something. Change it up and do something, okay? Don't just sit back in this is my comfort zone. Or, you know, Mike and I have talked about, we're getting old, folks. We are getting old, but we're not ready to retire. Though we're at retirement age, we're not ready to retire. Sometimes you just got to stir it up, add something new in there, rather than, as he was saying before, coast. Mm-hmm. When your life turns into just coasting, there's not much joy in that. There has to be purpose, especially if you are a child of the Lord. You know your life has purpose to it. You need to see it. You need to see it coming through, you know. And even, you know, silly little things that give me purpose, Mike, is like on Sunday mornings now, I've started buying the snacks that go out with the coffee. Limited. Just if somebody didn't get a chance to grab breakfast, there's something there for them. And it was just donuts, donuts, donuts. Well, I decided, you know what? We have too many of our people that are gluten-free and lactose intolerant and, you know, just all those things. So I said, just add some fruit, add some veggies. You couldn't believe how many thank yous I got. It was a one trip to Walmart, put a few different things in the cart, bring them in and set them up. But you know what? It just made me feel so good because people had noticed. I switched it up. I did something different, got out of my comfort zone a little bit, thought of other people. What would they like? And I just loved it. I loved seeing. I sat back and I watched, and I watched all the sliced apples go first. And I thought, that's a keeper. Okay, then all the little cuties went. And all these big, burly men were the ones grabbing those. You know what I mean? It was okay. I did something so minute. But you know what? It made a difference in people's lives, and they really appreciated it. We need to mix it up a little bit. Do something different. If what you're doing is like, boring, then do something different. Don't expect somebody to come and put some pizzazz in your life. You know, we had one person lead the church that had told us, yeah, you gave me something to do, and I kind of just coasted with it. I guess it would have worked if I would have put some effort into it. Yeah. Everybody, it takes effort. It takes effort. You don't get a job from the Lord or those in ministry over you and just coast. You got to put some effort in it. And I think this fits exactly wonderfully with the switch from service to generosity, because the generosity of it is sometimes you're having to give up something that may be precious to you. It may be your comfort zone. It may be your schedule. It may be, this is the way I like to do things. Well, maybe you should try something you never thought of trying before, and you'll find out you like it even more than the same old, same old. So let's get into this generosity. You know,
and the problem is, though, Linda, what a lot of people do is when they feel like their life needs a shot in the arm, they turn to sin.
Yes. Okay?
So I just want to warn our brothers and sisters out there, beware of the devil's trap. Because like I said earlier, sometimes people get into a rut and then they get into an affair. Don't try to liven up your life with sin. You know, there's a number of different things. It's not just affair. People get into drugs, all kinds of controlled substances. You want to get edgy and do things you shouldn't do. I just want to encourage you to live the abundant life that Christ has for you. Jesus says that I came that you might have life and life abundantly in John chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. He says, I came that you might have abundant life. And so there's nothing that the world can give you that's any better or even comes close to the abundant life that the Lord will give you. And it's calorie-free and guilt-free and sin-free. And when you live for the Lord, He will give you an abundant life. You know, like I told you before, the world's way is do it now, pay later. And the Lord's way is pay now and take the benefits. All the benefits will come along the way and later. So listen, so far we've covered the spiritual discipline of Bible study, prayer, fasting, confession, worship, fellowship, rest, and celebration. Oh, and I think we covered service last time, so yes. I better add that to this. Service. And it was all good stuff. But today we're looking at the spiritual discipline of generosity. Now, in Acts chapter 20, verse 35, Paul is actually speaking, and he says, I've shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive, which I think, I'm trying to think if that is found easily in the Gospels. There's a lot of times the apostles will quote something of Jesus and you won't actually find it in the Gospels, but it was passed along.
I'm so, trying to think if that's one of them.
You can do a search for them if you want to. But anyway, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Now this, by the way, when we're talking about generosity, just like Linda pointed out a moment ago, it's not just generosity with money, it could be generosity with your time. And generosity is just being willing to give rather than always wanting to receive. It could be when you go to church, instead of just saying, what does this church have to offer me? What can they give to me? You could go to church and say, how can I bless someone at church today? I've talked to you guys about this many, many times. And it's funny because Linda said something else earlier that you may want to scratch your head because you're going, it was our day off. Well, I had to come to the realization that as a pastor, I serve on Sunday and people come to church on Sunday and it's their day off, you know? So I had to come to the realization, wait a minute, everybody who loves the Lord and wants to serve the Lord will end up doing something for the Lord on their day off. And so I had to just get over it. It's like, I remember when I first went on staff as a pastor in Southern California, and I had Saturdays off, and I used to always go to the men's prayer meeting in the morning, but it was Saturday was my day off, and I went anyway. And one of the pastors all of a sudden said to me, what are you doing here? It's your day off. And it really hit me odd. It's like, well, you know what? when I was had a regular job in the world, Saturday was my day off, and I still came to men's prayer. Why, now that I'm on staff as a pastor, I don't come to church to pray on my day off? And so I had to really realize that, that sometimes we get these entitled attitudes like, it's my day off, I don't have to do this. Well, look, I had to really readjust and rewrite that whole thing in my mind to realize it doesn't matter if it's my day off or not. I want to serve the Lord. Now, we have spoken to you before about taking a day of rest, and I still think this is important to take a day of rest. But sort it out, folks. If you have 2 days a week off, I mean 2 whole days off, you could go to church one of those days. You know, you don't have to go, oh, it's my day off, I'm going camping. You know, I understand there's times to get away and camp. So anyway, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Now, I'm going to read from this article from churchleaders.com, and we'll comment along the way. So far, I haven't read anything. I've just been doing all my comments. Generosity is about more than just giving. It's changing the way you think about and manage your resources. I like that. Proverbs says, one gives freely and yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. And, you know, that is a principle that Linda and I have discovered over and over again in life, that you can be stingy. You could try to save up your money. You could say, no, this is my time. This is my money. This is mine. And you could just wither away. It's the old old humbug Christmas story, you know, that you can just decide you don't want to give anything because you want to try to save, and you end up not saving anything. You end up not having anything. But the Proverbs say that if you give, you can grow all the richer. And I like that. Proverbs 11:24, by the way.
And I think we found that true, haven't we, in our lives, that the more we give to the Lord and not worry about ourselves, that the Lord just blesses it. He makes things go further. He takes care of his children. One of the lines we're going to read in here is, everything we have belongs to God. You know, we're just managing the resources of it. And that's very true. To have that attitude, this is not mine, this is God's. This is God's money. Okay, he wants me to live, so I need what I need to live on. But I need to look around. I need to take care of people around me too. I need to be there for others. Sometimes that's our time that it takes. The generosity of, okay, I got to go do this. I haven't stopped yet today. This is going to turn into a 12-hour day, but that's okay. Because if we're out there ministering for the Lord, doing what we know the Lord would want us to do, if some people play sports or go have fun, they have no problem with a 12-hour day, right?
Yeah, right.
You know, so why would we have problems with a 12-hour day if we're serving the Lord? It's all part of an attitude, right?
Yeah, right?
Of being willing to give. You know, he's given to us freely. We turn around, we give to others freely. And, ooh, the word we don't like, that touches finances too. So,
yeah. Well, interesting you use the word freely. I just looked up that that proverb, Proverbs 11:24, in the New Living Translation, and it says, give freely and become more wealthy. Be stingy and lose everything. Isn't that good? Give freely and become more wealthy. Be stingy and lose everything. So, folks, when we're talking about spiritual disciplines, we're talking about doing things that would take some discipline, but it's good for you. It will give a good return. It's like saving your money. It will give a good return, okay? So anyway, that music means we got to take a station break. We're going to take about 60 seconds, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to 94.1 The Voice, KBXL, Caldwell, Boise, radio you can believe in. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Look Up airs every Monday through Friday afternoon from 2:30 to 3:30. Through Facebook Live, text, and phone, you can ask questions on what the Bible has to say about the real things that are going on in your life. If you'd like to text the Sassos, The number is 208-891-2635. The best way to have your question answered is to call the Sassos in the studio right now. That number is 208-377-3790. To learn more about Calvary Chapel Eagle, visit calvarychapeleagle.com. Now, here's Mike and Linda.
All right, let's continue reading that article on 12 spiritual disciplines that will make your life or make your faith strong. We're talking about generosity, and Ecclesiastes warns against the love of money because it will never satisfy. Ecclesiastes 5:10, but the reason we should be generous is that nothing we own really belongs to us. I'm going to talk about that in a second. But first, I want to read to you Ecclesiastes 5:10. As I looked it up in the New Living Translation, it says, "Those who love money will never have enough. How meaningless to think that wealth brings true happiness." And I think, folks, that's one of the reasons people are not generous, because it's not just they're stingy at nature, because they're afraid to lose out. They think they're going to lose out by letting go. We call it living with an open hand. Rather than living with a closed fist holding on to things, you live with an open hand and you're willing to let go of things. If somebody needs something, I could tell you stories, but I'm gonna stick to this for a while here, is that there's times when you have something and you don't really need it. Let me just say, let me prepare you for something. After hearing a radio broadcast like this, the Lord's going to test you on this. Yeah. Really, I'm telling you something. The Lord's going to test us on it. That's the way the Lord works. And I know there's been times in life where I've had something and I didn't really need it, but I just came across, maybe it was money or possessions or whatever. And then, boom, that same day, I run into somebody. I remember one time there's a certain amount of money that I came into. I sold some property, a possession I had, and I came into some money, and it wasn't big. It was a couple hundred, something like that. And I had it in my pocket. It was cash. They gave me cash. And then I found out that there was a brother who needed that same exact amount in order to get into his apartment. And he didn't know how he was going to do it because he didn't have any money. Somebody told me about it. So I pulled him into my office. I was on staff as a pastor at Calvary Boise at the time, and I asked him about it, and I felt like the Lord was telling me, you give that to him, take it out of your pocket and give it to him. And it's like, you know what? It was a good feeling. It wasn't like, oh no, what am I going to do? That's a lot of money. You know what I could buy with that money? And instead I just thought, this is the Lord. And you know what? The Lord used it to really minister to him. The Lord used it to speak of authenticity in God's people to this brother, because he was a brother who was struggling with different things in his life, just came to the Lord. And, you know, when you really see faith moving through people and you really see the generosity of the people of God, that brother's still walking with the Lord today. Okay. So, I just want to encourage you, because as I'm telling this story, I know you're going to have a story. You're going to have something happen to you this week. It might be today, where you come across a possession or some money that you didn't have, and all of a sudden it's there, and then you're going to run into somebody else who needs exactly what you have in your hand or what you have in your pocket. Be open that the Lord wants to use that he's going to say to you, give it all, give it away to that brother or that sister. I'll tell you something, Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. So anyway, a principle that I would be filled with joy if I just find out that after sharing this story and after covering this topic, if I hear back from several of you that the Lord was multiplying the ministry of giving through you guys, or even through our radio broadcast as we tell this story. I'm looking forward to hearing some stories on that.
And did you hurt any from giving that? Did it hurt you? Did it cost you? Did you find, oh, I needed something and now I don't have the money for it?
No, it just didn't seem right. It just didn't seem right that you're going, wait a minute. I sold a property, a possession that I had, and I had a couple hundred bucks out of it. And it's like, now you get the money in your pocket. You want to go buy a better one, whatever you just sold, right? And that's pretty. That's really what I had in mind.
Well, the point I wanted to make was that when you do this, the Lord shows you, you know, give this to this person. You don't lack anything because of it. It didn't take any bread off of our table, okay? Let's put it that way. And instead, Mike was able to financially bless someone that showed them the love of Christ. Isn't that why so many? Jesus came doing so many miracles, signs, and wonders to prove who he was. For somebody to just hand you money out of their pocket is pretty much a miracle nowadays. So don't be afraid. Don't be foolish either. If you know somebody is a scammer, don't give them money. The Lord will point you towards legitimate needs. There are a lot of false needs out there. And I'll tell you, we don't stop on street corners and hand people money there unless the Lord just convicts us that we need to give them something. And it's only happened to me once, okay? Because being in the church, we have seen the scams. We've seen the tricks that they try to pull, thinking the church has money, people have money. I'm just going to stand here with a sign and they're going to give it to me. The shame of it is there are some legitimate people out there, but you don't know the difference. And that's when you've got to really pray over it. There are services that can take care of those people that are out on the street. Most of the time, they just choose not to because they don't want to go in the shelter. They don't want to follow the rules there. So if they even are genuinely homeless, sometimes they've made a choice about what they are being offered and they're just waiting for somebody to give them some money. Be cautious. Really pray about it before you just hand somebody something and say, oh, okay, Mike said I'm supposed to take the money out of my pocket and give it to, there's somebody in need and hand it. No, that's not what he's saying. What he's saying is the Lord will make it crystal clear. The Lord will tell you. And at that point, once you let it go, then you gotta let it go. Let me tell you, one of my things that made it so hard on me one time is way, way back. Did we even have children at the time? I can't even remember. But there was a family, and the guy had lost his job. And we just decided we were going to go take a bunch of groceries over there to them so the family could eat. And we gave them some cash on top of it. So cooked some of the food that was there. We took a lot. We took bags and bags of groceries. This is before you were in ministry, you were in the print trade. Mm-hmm. For that time, we were making good money, you know, for two kids and maybe a baby somewhere in there. But what happened is, you know, they were, oh, thank you. And then the guy said, Mike, come on, let's go to the market. And they came back with everything you could dream of for hot fudge sundaes. The nuts, the sprinkles, this ice cream, this, that. And you know what? I had a hard time. Because I was resentful in my heart. Here, I gave you that money to feed your family. And instead, you went and splurged on what was 100% unnecessary. That was my problem. I gave it. I have to let it go when I give.
That's okay? True.
I have to let it go. I can't dictate where it goes. I did the right thing. We did the right thing by helping a brother in need. If he chose to splurge foolishly with it, you know what? That's not my choice. It's not my choice. But it is one of those kind of abuses, you know, that we've seen where he could have, for what he spent on just ice cream for one night, he could have, if he did it right, fed his family for a week, okay? Because literally, you guys came home with everything.
I don't even remember
the cherries in the jar and everything. The bananas, the not just hot fudge, every other topping possible, every kind of nut possible. It was such a test for me. And I was so young. I was in my 20s. And I'm like, okay, I just got to keep my mouth shut. But I'll tell you, we didn't bring food back there again. We did not bring food back there again. Because if that's what they're going to do with it, you know, we had another thing where another family needed food. So we brought staples. We brought eggs and things like that so that they could eat and feed their children. Well, I'm told, yeah, we need eggs because every time we get eggs, so-and-so, one of the kids, takes them and breaks them on the sidewalk and slides back and forth on them. And that's what he did with our eggs. When we got out of the car, he grabbed the eggs and started breaking them on the sidewalk.
I don't Mama remember that
didn't,
one.
I don't even know if you were with me. Mama did not stop him. And I brought one of those big things of eggs. I don't know if any of them actually made it into the house.
Oh, my gosh.
And I didn't bring food back there either. You know, I'm sorry. There's times that you have to watch. Is there a reason somebody is in need and the Lord's trying to teach them a lesson and you're just enabling them? Or is this a legitimate need? Oh, folks, it has to be a matter of prayer, because if we enable people, we really don't help them. We hurt them. We hurt them by letting them stay enabled that way. And I don't know why I'm getting off on this. Somebody out there needs to hear it, because they're enabling someone that needs to just take more responsibility to provide for themselves. But once the Lord tells you, give, you let it go. If you see it spent or done foolishly with, then don't give again to that same resource, okay? Lesson learned. Chalk it up that way as a lesson learned. But we've got to be willing to give and not hold back, because there's abuses. But we need to be wise about what we give. We just don't hand the drunk on the corner a bunch of money when you know he's going to go in and just buy another bottle. That's not helping. That's hurting. That kind of person, if you really feel the need, you go buy them a nice hot burger and hand them the burger.
Or take them to the restaurant.
But I'm saying buy them what they need. There's sometimes you just can't. You can't hand a drug addict cash. You hand them food, you know, so. Okay, there. I don't know why that all came out.
See, because there's a wide range here. When we're talking about generosity, we don't want to be stingy. We want to live open-handed, not close-fisted. And yet there's times where there's people who really you would be unwise to give them money. There are people who will waste it, like that crazy story Linda told about the eggs. You don't buy somebody eggs who what they're going to do with it once they get them is throw them on the sidewalk and break them. I mean, it's like, you know what? I'm not going to buy you eggs, buddy. If you can't control your kids, you know, anyway. That reminds me of a story that when I was learning about generosity, learning about helping the poor, a friend of mine who had a master's in Bible and had studied this and who was preparing to go to the mission field, he told me that to look out for the difference between the oppressed poor and the, I don't know if he called it the intentional poor, but there are some people who are poor because of foolish living and they will not stop doing foolish things. But there are some people who are oppressed, or they're unfortunate, they lost their job, or there's a natural disaster. There are poor people who are poor because of things that happened to them. And then there are poor people who are poor because of things that they've done to themselves. Now, I'm not saying you don't help at all. The people have done things that brought them in the bad condition. But that's one of the reasons we give to the Boise Mission. We give to the Women's Center there. There's several mission outreaches that we give to that help the poor. Now, and I'm telling you, if you go to the Boise Mission, and I've even seen this on TV where they're being interviewed about helping the panhandlers, helping people out on the street, and the people who run the Boise Mission will tell you, send them to us. We will make sure that they eat. Don't just hand them money, okay? Now, that the Boise Mission people will tell you that. So if you want to give to the poor and you want to be generous, give to the Boise Mission.
Yes.
Give to Habitat for Humanity. There are many.
City of Lights.
The City of Lights. That's the other organization I was trying to think of that we support. There are good organizations that you could give to that they'll make sure the money is spent in the right way and goes to the right people, because there's a difference between people who are poor because something bad has happened to them, or people who are poor because they keep making bad decisions, keep doing bad things. I remember when I was on the benevolence ministry at Calvary Boise years and years ago, I don't know what they do now, but we had a fund put away for benevolence, and we had applications for those who are in need. And we would want to know, what do you make, and what is your need, and what are your expenditures right now? And many, many times we would find out that people were throwing their money away, and we would only help people, for instance, pay the rent in a place that they're in if we knew that they would be able to, next month they'll be able to pick up the rent, not come to me again next month and I'll pay your rent, and then come to me the following month and I'll pay your rent. Maybe you're living in a place that's above your means. You need to move and find a place you could afford. And we would do that. We'd help people find a place that they could live within their means. I guess that's the thing. There are people who do not live within their means, okay? It's funny. I meant to talk about generosity. Now I'm talking about stinginess of withholding. But this is important. Because,
I think we're giving warnings, and I think this is coming from the Lord and some of the responses we're getting.
Okay. I just don't want to tell you, go out there, be generous, give your money away to everybody. No, there are some people who would be foolish for you to give your money to. I recently watched a documentary, and you might want to look this up on Netflix. I used to watch a documentary called San Francisco is Dying. And it was all about how the homeless population is growing and getting out of control, and there's trash everywhere, and they're telling why, and they're telling what the solution is, but nobody was taking the right solution. They just kept giving to these people, and the people kept spending it on their drugs. The drug problem was the real issue, okay? Most of the homelessness that they were focusing on, or most of the homelessness that they said was in San Francisco Seattle as well. So Seattle is dying. Look that one up, okay?
Is it both shows or one?
I think they were focusing on some major cities across the U.S., okay. But Seattle was the main focus. That's Seattle because they're very liberal. Let's help these people. Let's give them money. Let's give them places to live. And the real problem was that they were all on drugs. And really, I don't mean to paint with a brush stroke here, but that's what the documentary was showing, that they were interviewing Seattle police, and the police department was saying, you know what, we're wasting our time arresting people because they're dealing drugs on the street, because they just let them back out. And anyway, that's a whole nother topic, but Seattle is Dying, that was the name of it. And the whole reason I bring that up is because much of our problem in society today are people living foolishly, and they're bringing on problem on themselves, and we've got to find the right way to help them, not just keep giving them money, but what's the right way to help somebody? So when we're talking about generosity, let's find out, how can we be generous that in a way that it would actually help somebody, rather than we'll keep being generous to them so that they'll have more drugs for their next fix. You know what I mean? Anyway, we're all over the place with this, but I hope it's making sense.
We are, and I'm going to tell you another story. Today's our day of stories, and I think we'll pick up on generosity tomorrow because there is so much to talk about with this one. But I told you we did youth ministry for 10 years, 5 years junior high, 5 years high school. I think this was when we were in junior high ministry. We decided to have a night where we joined with an organization, I think. We took our bus down with a bunch of the kids. We met at the church. We put all these sandwiches together, and we basically, the homeless knew we were coming, so somehow we knew where to go when. I wasn't in charge of that part, so whether we joined an organization or a group that goes down there, but they knew, the homeless knew where to go. And the kids were up safe in the bus with all the windows down, and they were handing sandwiches out the windows. And more than once, someone would say, "What kind of sandwich is this?" And they said, "I don't know. I just grabbed it off the pile." They'd rip it open, peanut butter and jelly. They'd throw it on the ground. "Don't you have meat? I want ham or turkey or something like that." We had some of our little girls in tears over this one because we were trying to teach them the lesson of being generous to those in need. And sometimes these are the intentional ones that you find that are out there that look so entitled. Yeah, somebody's going to bring me a sandwich, and they better bring me a good one. I know one time when you went, when we were downtown LA, Skid Row, this is where we went, you asked one man, how'd you end up here? And he worked at Rockwell or something, right?
He used to have a big job, big money. And he says, you know what? He actually says, right now, I have everything that every man is ever working for. They're working all their lives so that they could have a view and sit in their lawn chair and rest. He says, I quit my job. He had a degree, and he had a, I forget where he worked actually, honey, but he had a good job, but he quit it all to be homeless because he found out if you work the system right, especially downtown LA, maybe not here in Boise, but in LA, he knew where to go to get a shower, where to go to get a clean bed, where to go to get a meal each, you know, three times or more a day. And he says, you know, I get the life. I'm living the life of a millionaire. The only thing is I'm not on my yacht. All these millionaires, they work all their life so hard so that they could just kick back and enjoy life. And that's what I'm doing right now. He wasn't crazy. He wasn't a drug addict. He was just working the system, you know. So, and that's why I love to work with Boise Mission, or when I lived in California, the LA Mission. There's all kinds of mission organizations that will filter out who's the scammers, who is some in legitimate need, who's just working the system. I know when I used to work at Calvary Boise in our helps ministry, we'd be giving out food. And there'd be times somebody would come and say, I really need some food. All right, well, listen here. I'd be so happy to grab two or three bags of groceries and say, here, let me carry these out to your car for you. And they'd open up the trunk, or maybe it's a station wagon, and it was filled with groceries because they went to every food bank in town, and there's no way they could eat all this. I don't know if they're going to share it or if they're going to sell it or what. But anyway, unfortunately, that could be very disillusioning when you're trying to make a difference and help people, and then you find somebody working the system. That's really hard. So let me encourage you, be generous, but do your homework. Make sure you're giving to somebody who's in legitimate need, and give to the Boise Rescue Mission, give to the City of Lights, give to these organizations that you know they are experts at this. They know how to filter out who's using the system and who isn't.
And send them there. It is not a sin for you to say, there is Boise Rescue Mission for the men, City of Lights for women and children. Some people feel like, oh, well, that's a cop-out. No, it isn't. You can tell these people, I support those organizations, and they will help you. That's when you're going to find out, well, they have too many rules. I have to be in by this time at night, or I can't do this, or I can do that. You'll find that they have already been to these places that help, but they don't want to follow any of the rules. So they're just going to go on the street and they want you to give them cash so they can do whatever they want to with it. That's what we're trying to spare you of. And I know this is a negative show. I'm hoping tomorrow we get back on generosity.
We didn't mean to make it so negative. It's
positive.
Just going that direction.
Well, yeah. But you know what? We're telling you stories from real life. I've already got a thank you through the text message here for that, because there is warnings. As Christians, we can be taken advantage of because we are told to love. Hey, I will never forget the one time somebody came to the church, and it was a young girl, and she had her mother in a wheelchair that just seemed so totally disabled. And the girl came and said, yeah, I really need money for rent. Was it something like that? And she, Mike and I greet people outside the door afterwards. She wheeled her mother and backed her up right in between the two of us and walked away and left her mother there. And her mother's just sitting over like she's not even coherent with anything. And the girl comes back and says, yes, I need. And Mike's asking how much money by this time I'd walked away. And all of a sudden, the mother comes to life, digging through papers, handing the daughter the right one. Do you remember that one?
Yeah, I remember all the details you do, but
yeah, but the mother all of a sudden would come to life when the girl didn't have the right answer. The mother had the papers in her hand and she could go through them, hand it, and then all of a sudden comatose again. Well, you know, she wrote the church phone and said, okay, I've told you what my needs are with a text, and said, why aren't you helping me? Because we decided not to. because it just smelled like a scam. And the nastiest text message we got on there, I couldn't leave it on the church phone. Let's just put it that way. And you call yourself a Christian and you didn't help me and God's going to hold you accountable. Oh, don't you love that one? When somebody who's trying to take advantage of you will tell you God's going to hold you accountable. Let me tell you, when you won't help someone and they start in your face like that, you call yourself a Christian. I can almost guarantee you 100%, let's say 99%, that person was a scammer. They were not in genuine need. Now, one of the ways to tell someone in genuine need is when maybe the Lord tells you, share with them, and you share. And they're so grateful. They're so grateful. They're not asking for more. They're not giving you a number. You did what you could, and they're so thankful for it. Sometimes that can be, you know, a confirmation you did the right thing. But let me tell you, if they get in your face, they start with the accusing. They start with, God's going to judge you for this. You're going to be held accountable before Him for not helping me, because that's what you're supposed to do as a Christian. And how dare you call yourself a Christian? Know that you should not give to that person. That is your confirmation. Because even if they are in a legitimate need, that is a horrible attitude. And they're trying to guilt you into it. We don't give out of guilt. It makes sense? We don't give out of guilt. We give out of love. We give because Jesus gave to us. We give to people because we love them. That doesn't mean, oh my, there's the music, that we should be taken advantage of, okay, as a Christian. So, slightly negative show, but it was the warnings that you guys need to hear of who to help, who not to help, okay? Now, tomorrow, we will be back. We will hit the positive part of generosity here and possibly move on to the next one with it. So, God bless you guys. See you tomorrow.
If you'd like to know more about Calvary Chapel of Eagle, just go to the website at cceagle.org. Be sure and join Pastor Mike every Saturday at 8 p.m. and on Sundays at 8 a.m. for his radio show, It's All About Jesus. If we ran out of time and you didn't get a chance to call in, you can send your questions to lookup at cceagle.org. And may the Lord richly bless you as you continue to look up to Jesus.
Look full in His wonderful face. I want to grow dim standing next to You.